This week, a good friend and longtime guest on Issues Etc., Pastor Charles Evanson, died. We present the following encore in his memory.
Savior of the nations, come, show yourself a virgin son, marvel heaven, wonder earth, that our God chose such a
Stands one of the Advent hymn, Savior of the Nations, Come. The church will be singing that with many other Advent hymns in the weeks to come. Celebrating a season called Advent sounds like something related to Christmas because, of course, it has to do with Christ's coming. But the season of Advent is much bigger and broader and older, more ancient and deeper than simply a pre-Christmas season. Now, the world goes on and skips Advent altogether. It's not even on the calendar. It's just Christmas already. But it isn't Christmas already for the church. It is Advent. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, November the 27th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll spend the first hour talking with Pastor Charles Evanson about the Advent season. Then in hour two, we'll discuss the Old Testament patriarch Noah. Dr. David Adams will be our guest. Joining us this hour is the pastor who began introducing Issues Etc. listeners to church festivals and the church year and the church calendar more than 20 years ago, Pastor Charles Evanson. He's pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for 52 years, and he's recently returning after spending the last 16 years serving as a Lutheran pastor in Lithuania. Pastor Evanson, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much, Todd. I'm very happy to be back.
What have you been doing for the last decade?
Well, I was invited in 1999 to assist the Lithuanian Lutheran Church, which is one of the smallest Lutheran churches in the world, in its educational program to train clergy, something which was virtually impossible during the many years in which the Lithuanians were under the yoke of the Soviet Union. So I traveled there on Easter Monday in 1999 and became a professor at the University of Klaipeda in the Faculty for Evangelical Theology and continued in that position under the auspices really of the Lithuanian Church and also Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. And then in 2005, broadened my activities somewhat to serve also as a visiting professor at the Luther Academy in Riga, Latvia. And during this time also, I went regularly to Russia, to Novosibirsk, to teach at the Lutheran Seminary there. So I managed to keep rather busy all 17 years.
Let's turn to the subject of Advent here, subject for our hour's conversation. Why doesn't the church just go straight to Christmas like the rest of the world does at this time of the year?
I suppose that the principal reason is because if we do that, then we miss the connectedness between the end of all things and the beginning of our salvation. That is to say, we lose the connection between the first coming of our Lord in his incarnation and his present coming to us through the gospel and the sacraments and his coming again in glory in the end of days to be our judge.
What does the word Advent mean?
The word Advent is from the Latin word adventus, which means coming. And it's roughly equivalent to a word that is very prominent in the New Testament in Greek, and that is parousia, which commonly refers both to the first coming of our Lord and also to his coming again in glory at the end of days.
So we're talking about a season here that has a general theme of Christ's coming, but it's kind of a multi-layered thing. Is that a good way of thinking about it?
Yes, it is. And really, we think of it as the beginning of the church year. That is rather an idea that developed in the Middle Ages. In earlier times, the 70th day before Easter was generally regarded as the beginning of the church year. And these Sundays that we are now entering into, these four Sundays before Christmas, really continued and sharpened the theme that had developed in November Sundays, which had to do with the judgment, the separation of the sheep and the goats, and the signs of the end. Those all had to do with the coming of Christ. But now the note of our Lord's first coming is reintroduced on the first Sunday in Advent so as to round things out, to show how the connectedness is between the end and the beginning.
Now, there are biblical themes in Advent. There are many of them, actually, some of them bigger than others. How would you begin to describe the biblical themes that have come to be associated with this season?
I would say that the most significant biblical theme is, of course, the unfolding of the Sundays. The first Sunday in Advent traditionally gave us the coming of our Lord into Jerusalem on the Sunday, on Palm Sunday, before his Passion. And the newer lectionaries also take up that theme, but also introduce, whereas the older lectionary always concentrated on the description of that coming in Matthew chapter 21, now the other stories having to do with the coming of Christ into Jerusalem mounted on an ass from Luke and from John are also brought into the picture so as to give a more rounded picture. And the secondary theme then comes up on the second Sunday in Advent, which has returns again to the theme of judgment. The third theme introduces the question of John the Baptist. The question is always relevant. Just who are you? Are you him who is to come, or are we waiting for someone else? And then on the fourth Sunday, the testimony of John, that this is indeed the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. And the epistles during this time take up various aspects of the Christian life, the life of repentance, the life of hope, the life of preparation, and the life of the church living together under this Christ who comes to us now through his word, but who will soon come to us again in his body to lead us home.
I want to come back to those biblical themes in a little more detail in a few minutes here, Pastor Evanson. Give us a little history lesson. It's my understanding that the Advent season is one of the more ancient seasons. Easter and Christmas, obviously, days and feasts that are celebrated, but Advent has a long history in Christian practice, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. Advent, we have written records of it before the beginning of the 6th century, in the late 400s. And it obviously antedates that. And it was at that time primarily a time of preparation for adults who were preparing for baptism. There was a great period of mission activity in the church, and along with the usual baptism of children of Christian families immediately after birth, many people were preparing in their adult years for baptism. And in the periods of time which approach both Christmas and Easter, these were times of intense preparation of those who were going to be baptized at the coming high festivals.
So is that why, and I think it's still true in the Eastern tradition, their Advent is sometimes called Nativity Lent?
Yes, and that's true also in some of the northern lands, in Lutheran countries, in Scandinavia. Lent is referred to as Julefasten, that is the fast of Yuletide, which was a time of intense preparation of those who were going to be baptized and confirmed, and also the preparation of the whole church to be together with the neophytes in these days in which they are preparing for baptism into Christ.
Can you talk a bit about why it is that time of preparation, be it either Lent, but in the case of our conversation today, Advent, that time of preparation was considered necessary by the earliest Christians? We don't live in a society that considers this kind of preparation important anymore, especially in the church. All of that has been sadly tossed by the wayside. Why was it so important to them to prepare for things?
There was a greater realization, I think, than there is today, and perhaps the realization is once again growing, that the world and the church are two very, very different entities, and that by becoming a Christian, one is indeed going to encounter the enmity of the world, and one will experience that in his occupation, in his daily life, in his dealings with his fellows, and one needs to be prepared for it. One needs to have the gospel promises clearly in mind and be reminded also of what is expected of him as a Christian.
So for the catechumens, or as you said, the neophytes in the early church, as they entered into Advent as a time of preparation, even maybe for baptism and full welcome into the church, in a sense, were they being told by this season of Advent, you need to be prepared to leave the world behind, so to speak?
Yes. You will be living in the world, but you are going to be now believers. You are going to be members of a community which lives in and around our Lord Jesus Christ. And this community not only is very different from the world, but it is one which claims your allegiance and which has its own way of life, which you need to learn. It's not merely a Sunday morning thing that you turn on and then turn off again during the week.
I mentioned just a few minutes ago that we have really lost that, Pastor Evanson. This notion that being or becoming a Christian means a separation from the world, means an entirely different reality that we're entering into. With a few minutes here before we take our first break, how does the church this Advent hope to recapture some of that?
The church through Advent seeks to recapture it by sounding the warnings that are found in the epistles and reminding us of the reality we face around us, which we often close our eyes to. And that is the strife between nations, the breakdown of families, the breakdowns we find in society, and which then calls us together to Christ for forgiveness and the life of repentance and hope, which come to us through him and which are fed by him sacramentally.
Pastor Charles Evanson is our guest. We're talking about the season of Advent on this Friday, November the 27th. He's pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for 52 years, and he's recently returned after spending the last 16 years serving as a Lutheran pastor in Lithuania. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the elements of Advent as we find them in the worship life of the church, the prayers of Advent, the hymns of Advent, oh, even the colors of Advent. We'll talk about that right after this. Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. Advent hymn, O Lord, How Shall I Meet You? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. On this Friday afternoon, November the 27th, we're talking about the season of Advent. Pastor Charles Evanson is our guest. Pastor Evanson, let's talk about some of the liturgical elements of Advent, especially these little prayers called collects that not only in Advent, but throughout the church year, really crystallize the theme of each Sunday in a short, succinct, and in many cases, very ancient prayer. What are notable about the Advent Collects?
The Advent Collects have traditionally been given the name the Stirrup Collects because three of the four traditionally used begin with the Latin word excita, which means to excite or to stir up. And for this reason, they're even developed a custom of making puddings during Advent, which had to be stirred up to remind the people that we have to be stirred up to wait and prepare for the coming of our Lord. Now, for example, the collect for the first Sunday in Advent is one of these stir-up collects. And in it, the church prays that the Lord would stir up his power and come so that by his protection, the church may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by his mighty deliverance. And then so on. Traditionally, the collects, which as you say are very ancient, are one-sentence prayers. They are not lengthy, they're not verbose. They have a one central thought, and they develop it very quickly and very concisely.
So when the church is praying these collects, you talk about the notion of kind of stirring ourselves up. That connects into one of those biblical themes that you had mentioned. In fact, it seems to be kind of running through all of those biblical themes, that the church would be thinking of itself in a waiting posture. Is that a good way of talking about how these collects focus the church's mind?
Yes, indeed. As a matter of fact, in some old Lutheran liturgies, the church is described in Advent as the waiting church.
What about
waiting for the coming of the Lord?
What about the hymns of Advent? How would you describe them?
The hymns of Advent that are traditional in the use of our church bring together the theme of Christ coming again and of our being prepared to meet him when he comes. Now, the hymn that was just sung before we resumed our conversation, O Lord, How Shall I Greet Thee? Is a hymn written in the 17th century by Pastor Paul Gerhardt in Berlin, which combines the theme of Christ's entry into Jerusalem to be greeted by the crowds and our being confronted with him face to face. O Lord, how shall I meet thee? How face thee aright? Another one that is very ancient, perhaps one of the first Lutheran hymns ever written, is the hymn, Savior of the Nations Come, which was Luther's translation of an ancient hymn by Ambrose of Milan, and which was published in the first Lutheran hymnal in 1524, which brings up the theme of Christ's coming as the Virgin's Son, and of his coming that in human blood, and coming by the power of the Holy Spirit to be our God, and also his coming again in glory, and bringing us back to the Father, who was the source of his coming in the first place. There are many, many other hymns, and of course, one of the most familiar is the hymn, O Come Emmanuel, which is based upon the O antiphons, which are sung at Vespers before the Magnificat every evening, beginning on the 17th of December until Christmas Eve. O Savior of the nations, come. O Key of David, O Scepter of Jesse, and so on. There are so many of these wonderful hymns, it's difficult to mention all of them. One based on Psalm 24, lift up your heads, ye mighty gates, behold the King of Glory waits, prepare the royal highway, on Jordan's bank the Baptists cry, which is a very good hymn for the third Sunday in Advent, let all the earth rejoice, Savior, rend the nations, rend the heavens and come. Just a beautiful hymns, which could be used very easily in the Christian household, a hymn a day during the season of Advent. There are, at least in our present hymnal, there are 27 such hymns, which could be used in the home.
They do seem to have one thing in common, most of them, these Advent hymns, and that is they're deeply rooted in the Old Testament. They're often drawn directly from Old Testament texts. Why is that appropriate to Advent?
Well, as our Lord said of the Old Testament, search the Scriptures, for these are they which testify of me. The Church has, at various times in the last two millennia, seemed to have forgotten or at least not put much emphasis on the relationship between Christ and the Israel of God in the Old Testament, and the prophecies and promises which were given to God's Old Testament people as they waited for the coming of their Messiah. The Advent hymns, and indeed in many ways other aspects of the season of Advent, were meant to point to the continuity in God's plan from the days of creation up until and through the coming of our Lord.
Another feature of these Advent hymns is that they don't shy away from the Nativity. While they are distinctly Advent and not Christmas hymns, they very often make reference to the conception and the birth of Christ. What are your thoughts there, Pastor Evanson?
Well, this is something that unfolds more and more as the season of Advent unfolds. And the theme of the second coming and of the present coming through the means of grace moves slightly to one side, and more emphasis is put on the imminent coming of Christ in his incarnation. And the way is prepared for it. Many of the lectionaries include the Magnificat as a gospel reading, which is, of course, the beautiful song of praise of Mary, that she should be undeservedly chosen by God to be the mother of the Christ.
The Church also changes color, as it often does during the church year. Here we have, for the most part, been a green church up until the end of the church year, with occasional punctuations of white for celebration of feasts. And all of a sudden, the church goes to either to violet, to purple, or in some cases to blue. What do the colors signify?
Well, violet, traditionally in the Western Church, has always been the color of repentance. Violet was, in the ancient world, the most expensive of all dyes, which meant that its use was reserved for church seasons which were particularly solemn and important. And those seasons were the seasons of Advent and the seasons of Lent. In recent years, blue, which was never much a color used in the Western Church, excepting in England, has come more and more to be associated with Advent, primarily not to displace the theme of repentance, but rather to introduce the theme of expectation, because blue is the color of the sun. And Christ, who is the Son of Righteousness, is coming. We celebrate his birth on the Feast of the Nativity, and his arising to enlighten the darkness of the sinful world brings out the blue sky again. And so blue is introduced more as an indication of expectation and hope than of anything else.
That kind of brings us to one of the, you had mentioned, you know, celebrating Advent in the home. One of the things that often finds its way into the home is an Advent wreath. We often see them in our churches as well. A wreath, sometimes even of a Christmas garland, that is punctuated by candles. What is this wreath?
This is the Advent wreath, which is a rather unique Lutheran contribution to, indeed, the whole church. It came from Germany, and it may have, in its original form, have been a circle of candles, one for every day, which would be accompanied by the reading of a verse of the Old Testament, prophetic of the coming of our Lord. But in the course of time, it came to be standardized as four candles, one for each of the four Sundays in Advent, for there are always four Sundays. And these are, at least in Europe, and or here as well, these are found in many churches and are lit as a remembrance of the prophecies of the coming of Christ.
They also bear the colors. Sometimes these wreath candles bear the colors of Advent, and one Sunday kind of stands out there. Sometimes there's a pink candle of one of the four. What is that about?
Well, the third Sunday in Advent has the Latin name Gaudete, which is something similar to Laetare, halfway through Lent. It's meant to say, now we're halfway through our preparation for our Advent preparation, and now it's time to relax a little bit and sing songs of joy and have some cookies. And the vestments traditionally for the third Sunday in Advent have been rose-colored rather than violet. And the candle is meant to represent that one special day, the day of joy.
So that is before we go to our break, that is an opportunity in the midst of the solemnity of Advent and the note of preparation, kind of that intensity, a little reminder of what's coming down the road.
Right. And as Christians, we should not have had our fill of Christmas parties and Christmas cookies by this time. We're still waiting.
Pastor Charles Evanson is our guest. We're talking about the season of Advent on this Friday afternoon, November the 27th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. When we come back, we will go back over the themes, the biblical themes of Advent with Pastor Charles Evanson. He recently returned after spending the last 16 years serving as a Lutheran pastor in Lithuania. Stay tuned.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
At Risen Christ Lutheran Church in Arvada, Colorado, we have simply become captivated by the hilarious notion that God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save the losers of this world, losers just like us. We proclaim the biblical notion that God saves sinners. Embracing the historic liturgy of the church, we confess that we are just that, sinners. Visit us online at risenchristlutheran.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Stanza one of On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry, an Advent hymn. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We're talking about the season of Advent on this Friday afternoon with Pastor Charles Evanson. If you're looking for a Christmas gift, a stocking stuffer for your mom, for your grandmother, for your daughter, I have a great book for you. It's a novel from Katie Schuerman, a regular guest here on Issues, Etc. Her latest novel, called The Choir Immortal, it tracks the life of a Lutheran congregation. It deals with the realities of the Christian life, with pain and suffering, especially with the theology of the cross. And it's right there in a compellingly told story. The Choir Immortal is the Issues, Etc. book of the month for November. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find it on every page of the website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order that Christmas gift, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the novel, The Choir Immortal, from Katie Schuerman. Pastor Evanson, let's go back through in some more detail some of those biblical themes that you outlined for us earlier in the season of Advent. You said there's this general idea of an unfolding revelation of Christ's coming. And one of the first themes that we find there is a theme of judgment. Talk a bit about that, if you would.
Okay, the theme of judgment, of course, is a reminder to us of why it is that our Lord had to come at all. And that is because of our need. The law of God, very rightly, has condemned us because of our sin. And we needed to take this judgment to ourselves, not to make excuses, but rather to confess our sins and to receive the gracious forgiveness which our Lord wins for us and to live lives of repentance. The season begins in all the three cycles that are now being used in our church, along with the traditional cycle, with the entry of our Lord into Jerusalem. The interesting thing is that all of the holy writers remind us how that our Lord comes not in pomp and circumstance as a mighty conqueror, but he rather comes in meekness and humility, because his purpose is not simply to gather the acclaim of the crowd, but he has a work which he has to do, and that is the work of our redemption. And so he comes in lowliness on a donkey to sacrifice himself for the sins of the world. And now this Lord comes to us today through the preaching of his gospel, through the word of forgiveness, which our pastor speaks over us in the absolution, in our baptism and its remembrance as we repent of our sins, and in the gift of Christ's body and blood in his sacrament. He comes to us beneath these forms to deliver us to us the fruits of his passion, the forgiveness of our sins, and the promise of everlasting life.
We talk about this theme of judgment, and it goes along, as you mentioned earlier, in the season of Advent, with the constant theme of joy as well. And I wonder, there's a common prayer in our liturgy that we pray almost every Sunday, where we talk about awaiting Christ with repentant joy. Some people think that would be an oxymoron, but it isn't. How would you describe repentant joy?
The fact that we can repent, the fact that the Lord gives us the opportunity to repent, is a joyful one. We rejoice that we can be forgiven. So often in life, we look back and see things that we cannot undo, hurts that we have administered by our thoughts and words and deeds, which we cannot undo. And in many cases, involving people who are no longer with us. And now we have, however, a gracious and merciful Savior who forgives us our sins, who cleanses us from our sins, and calls us to rejoice that he has done all this for us, that to rejoice that he has taken down the enemy which stands against us, who brings to our mind always our sins, and to rejoice in this Lord at all times, knowing that the peace of God which comes to us from him cannot be taken from us.
Another theme that you mentioned for the Advent season is the person and work of John the Baptist. He stands pretty tall in the course of this Advent season. Seems to me what we're really just doing is preparing the same way that Christ's first coming was prepared.
Yes, and of course, the theme of the humility of our Lord comes up in the story that is related to us in Matthew 11 as well, because John, who had made ready the way for Christ, was himself under the impression that Christ was going to come with a winnowing fork in his hand, and he was really going to knock heads together immediately. And now, here he is in prison, and he is, like all of us, he's beginning to wonder, is this really the one who was to come, or are we looking for another? And he sends his disciples to Christ to ask him that very pointed question. And Christ turns back to them and says, tell John what you have seen and heard, in fulfillment of God's promises, how the deaf hear, and the blind see, and the dead are raised. And blessed is he who is not offended in me.
John the Baptist brings along with him a theme that we didn't mention before, but it probably bears repeating, especially as Lutherans view their baptized life as a life of daily repentance and the forgiveness of sins, the theme of baptism for Advent. Does it fit, Pastor Evanson?
Oh, yes, indeed. The theme of baptism, of course, runs through the whole Scriptures, and it has its place in every gospel, along with the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, and the word of forgiveness. I mentioned before that Advent had the important work of preparing people for their baptism, and therefore it also reminds us now of the baptism that we have received and to which we are daily to return. And the return to that baptism is through repentance. Luther speaks of repentance as the return to baptism, the daily use of it. And he speaks of this also in the Catechism, when he talks about the daily drowning of the old man and the rising up of the new man in Christ.
You spoke earlier about the one of the other themes of Advent that's brought to us is principally through the gospel readings, and that is the testimony of John the Baptist. What is that testimony, and how is it still sounding out in the season of Advent for the church?
The testimony of John is found, of course, in particularly in the gospel according to St. John, in the first chapter, where John points out to his disciples, he points to Christ and says, "This is the Lamb of God. This is he who takes away the sins of the world." And later in the gospel, just a few chapters later, he says, "He must increase and I must decrease." And after that, there is no more mention of John in the gospel at all. He has fulfilled his purpose by pointing to the Christ who is to come.
Pastor Charles Evanson is our guest. We're talking about the season of Advent. When we come back from this break on this Friday afternoon, November the 27th, another 10 minutes with him talking about the Advent season. Then in hour two of Issues, Etc., we're going to be talking about the Old Testament patriarch Noah. Dr. David Adams will be our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back, some of those themes that are found in the epistles of Advent that Pastor Evanson mentioned before, then what is a church, what is a congregation missing if they just skip Advent this year? Stay tuned.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran Thought, Lutheran Substance, Lutheran Music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Sacramental. Historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Standing firm in a hostile world is the theme of the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th. This Confessional Lutheran Conference features Issues, Etc. guest Adam Francisco, David J. Weber, Joe Abrahamson, attorney Mark Stern, and Professor Alan Quist. If you are in Texas or would like some warmer weather in February, check out the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th at faithlutheransa.org. faithlutheransa.org.
Once he came in
Advent hymn, Once He Came in Blessing. We're talking about the season of Advent. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Pastor Charles Evanson is our guest pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for 52 years. He's recently returned after spending the last 16 years serving as a Lutheran pastor in Lithuania. Folks, if you appreciate our studies of the church calendar, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible contribution to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. With a little more than 5 weeks left in 2015, we're approximately $100,000 short of projected expenses. You can make a year-end tax-deductible donation online at issuesetc.org. You can also make a financial gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. when you consider your year-end giving. Pastor Evanson, you said that the epistles through the Sundays of Advent bring a theme of the Christian life that focus on repentance, hope, preparation, the church kind of living in this posture of waiting for Christ. We've talked a bit about repentance. Let's talk about that theme of the Christian life as one of hope.
Yes, indeed. Some of the Bible readings, some of the epistle readings for the Sundays in Advent particularly stress this hopefulness. The traditional reading for the first Sunday in Advent is from the 13th chapter of Romans, where Paul is admonishing the people to remember that the night is now far spent and the day is at hand and Christ is coming. And he says, let us then put on Christ and make no provision for the works of the flesh. This is a pretty clear allusion to holy baptism, because in baptism we put on the righteousness of Christ and live in the hope that gives us. Another passage commonly used in Advent is from the 15th chapter of the letter of Paul to the Romans. And here, the apostle again brings up this matter of hope, and that we have indeed no other hope. We have the hope that is set down for us in the pages of Holy Scripture, which we should know better than we know our own name. We should hold those promises and the hope that they give us dear. Another passage is the words of Paul again in Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Remember that the Lord is at hand. He's at hand in the congregation immediately through the preaching of the gospel, in the administration of the sacraments. He is at hand to hear our prayers. He is at hand to be with us. And he is coming again in the day which he has appointed to fulfill all things and take us home to heaven. All of these themes are themes of hope and expectation.
Also the theme of preparation. This is the one where sometimes our natural inclination will get the better of us. We think about preparation in terms of, somehow getting busy to await for Christ, while we are certainly called to a life of serving the neighbor in good works. Of what does the churches and the individual Christians' true preparation for Christ's coming, as we celebrate it in Advent, consist?
The best preparation to receive Christ is to receive him now. Is to receive him the way that he has told us that we are to receive him. We are to hear his word. We are to hold it dear. We are to rejoice in the word of forgiveness, which is spoken over us in holy baptism when we are baptized into him and into his death. We are to prepare for him by receiving him in his supper. In the Christian faith, preparation is not separated from the fulfillment. They all hang together like two hands that are folded together in prayer.
Is that how the church waits as well? It waits by hearing his word, by receiving his sacrament?
Indeed, it waits by receiving the one for whom it is waiting. And by receiving him in the way that he has told us he is to be received. Not merely with the words of our praise and our exaltation, but to receive him in the way that he gives himself to us. As Luther says in one of his treatises, Christ says, here I am for you. Take and eat.
So let's talk a bit about some pastoral advice, if you would, for families who observe Advent, not only in the life of the church on the Sundays of Advent, but also in their homes. What pastoral advice would you give there, Pastor Evanson?
Okay, I would recommend the introduction of the Advent wreath with the perhaps the reading of the gospel for each Sunday in the household, and the lighting of one of the four candles the second Sunday then, and that second week the second candle is also lit, and the third one is added. Also, I think the Advent, the old Lutheran practice of the Advent calendar. And these, I think, are still available in this country. They are. A friend of mine in Germany said that he spent a couple of days looking through stores in Germany, and the only Advent calendars he found were the sort of things that Christians wouldn't want to even look at. But we still have in this country the old Advent calendars where you have a little window for each day in Advent, and you open it up, and there is a Bible verse referring to the coming of Christ. And this is then these can be memorized, they can be spoken of among the family members, and as a reminder that the coming of Christ is the fulfillment of a promise which God has given from ages past.
What do you say to a Christian who looks around in the world, the events of the day? There's war on the horizon. There is disease and famine. There is all sorts of trouble in the world, and it does not seem to be growing less, but even greater. The hatred of man is quite obvious all over the world, and they're beginning to doubt Christ's final advent. What do you say to them, Pastor Evanson?
I would just say that they should look at this in a different way. This would seem to me, rather, it is a clear sign of the truth of Christ's words, that these things would grow and increase as the days pass, as we wait for his coming. War, rumors of war, all sorts of despicable acts, lying and cheating and stealing and gross immorality. These things are the way of the world. And the world insists on having its way, but it has not been able to destroy the church. I have been ministering the last 16 years among people who, for more than 40 years, found themselves under the yoke of a political system which was bound and determined that Christianity should be utterly exterminated. And it could not be done. The church has bounced back stronger than ever, and its hope in Christ is made more firm. When every other hope fails, all the hopes and the dreams we make for ourselves, then we know that there is one whose promises to us do not fail, and he will keep his word.
Pastor Charles Evanson is pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for 52 years. He has recently returned after spending the last 16 years serving as a Lutheran pastor in Lithuania. Pastor Evanson, it's so good to talk to you again, and thank you very much for being our guest and helping us prepare for the Advent season.
Thank you. It's been a joy to be with you.
Next hour on Issues Etc., the church observes the person and work of the patriarch Noah on November the 29th, and Dr. David Adams of Concordia Seminary will tell you everything you need to know about this Old Testament patriarch in hour two of Issues Etc. I like what Pastor Evanson said there. The church prepares to receive Jesus when he comes again. That's what Advent is about. By receiving him as he comes now. That means that the life of the church is a perpetual Advent until Christ comes again, because Christ is always coming to us through that word that is preached, that absolves us of all our sins, that shows us our sins and takes them away with the blood of Jesus Christ, by that word of forgiveness that Christ speaks through his called preachers, by the water of our baptism where the promise of eternal life is found, and in Christ's own body and blood there on the altar. That is the perpetual Advent. I'm Todd Wilkin. More Issues Etc. after the break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Folks, we have a little more than 5 weeks left in 2015, and we need approximately $100,000 to cover our expenses for the year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2015.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois, is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
We have 7 Arabic language transcripts of Issues Etc. that you can download for free.
يمكنك تنزيل النص لسبع حلقات من برنامج قضايا باللغة العربية مجانا.
These broadcast transcripts cover the 6 chief parts of Luther's Small Catechism and include a teaching on why do bad things happen.
تغطي تلك النصوص الأجزاء الستة الرئيسية من كتاب التعليم المسيحي لمارتن لوثر.
You can download and print these Arabic transcripts for free. Just go to issuesetc.org, click publications.
وتشمل تعليما عن لماذا تحدث المصائب؟ لتنزيل وطباعة النصوص العربية مجانا اذهب إلى issuesetc.org ثم انقر على publications.
Casting ChristNet on the internet, issuesetc.org.
نطرح شبكة المسيح على شبكة الإنترنت issuesetc.org.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.